So, Christmas is coming, and we'll remember again about Jesus coming to be our Saviour. But what does it all mean? What does it mean that Jesus came to save us? What does it mean to be saved? What do we need to be saved from? What difference can it possibly make? This morning, we're continuing our series, Words of Life, and looking at some of the words which we use in church, but maybe we can use them without thinking a huge amount about what they really mean. And we've seen that whether it's bless, or faith, or grace, or holy, these words have a depth of meaning which we can actually all too easily miss. And that is certainly true of the word saved. We might use it singing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." But do we stop to think? What's it about? What do we need to be saved from? What does it mean to be saved? Does it actually make any difference? To help start answering some of those questions, let's turn to a passage in the Bible which talks about it, and Harry is going to come and read for us from Romans 5.
Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. You see, at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. For a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now justified by his blood, how much shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled but to him through the death of his son, how much more have been reconciled shall we be saved through his life? Not only this so, but we have also boast in God through Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Thanks, Harry. Great. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? So, being saved is something that's going to happen sometime in the future. We will be saved. But there are other places in the Bible. Well, think of the verse we looked at a couple of weeks ago. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. So, being saved is something which happened in the past. And then there are other places. 1 Corinthians 1. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Something that happened in the past, something that's happening now, something which will happen in the future. We are used to past, present, and future being different things. But when the Bible talks about being saved, it actually smashes all three of them together. So, all this being saved stuff. What does it mean? Well, if you've been here over the summer, you'll know that it is now obligatory to throw up a word of either Greek or Hebrew onto the screen just to impress passers-by. So today's word is, and those squiggles spell sozo. And literally it means to rescue from danger or destruction. We are talking about something pretty serious here. This isn't just a kind of passing thing. To rescue from danger or destruction. This is to do with something that's a life or death issue. So what is it? What do we need to be saved from? And the hint was there in that reading that Harry read for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? It almost certainly isn't the first thing that comes to mind when we think about God. Think about God, and the first thing that's likely to come to mind is his love. His goodness. Maybe, particularly if you were here last Sunday morning, his holiness. But wrath? How does that fit in with the God of love? But in fact, the two things do belong together. God's wrath is his fixed opposition to everything that is wrong. God does not just sit back and ignore it when people do wrong. So, a child being abused, a young woman being trafficked, an older person being conned, workers being exploited, God cares about those things. Sin matters to God. And God won't leave sin unpunished. He can't. If God left sin unpunished, ultimately the universe would be immoral. And of course, when we look at those sort of things happening, we feel the same. Those sort of things should be punished, and God is perfectly right to punish people who do those terrible things. But then when we look at the mirror, can you honestly claim you have never done anything wrong? That you've never caused hurt to another person? And even if you could, and you can't, but even if you could, can you honestly claim that you've always put God first in your life? You see, if all that is wrong will ultimately face God's judgment and his wrath, then it isn't just those nasty, wicked people out there who've got a problem. It's me. And it's you. That is what we need to be saved from. No wonder the Bible uses this word, which refers to being rescued from something life-threatening. But still, if I'm a Christian, have I been saved from that? Am I being saved from that? Or is it something that's going to happen in the future? And if it's in the future, can I be sure about it? Let's go back to our reading. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't actually use the word saved there, but it's talking about much the same thing. You see, our sin didn't just mean that we had to face God's judgment in the future. It meant that we were alienated from God now. If you were here last week, you may remember we saw that verse from Isaiah. Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Or as Paul puts it in our reading, we were enemies of God. That is how serious sin is. It makes us God's enemies. It completely alienates us from God. And that's the state of everyone who's not been saved. We are on one side of an impenetrable barrier and God's on the other side. But then God did something amazing. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus' death dealt with everything that alienated me from God, so that now I have peace with him. You may have seen this illustration before, but it's as though, imagine this diary has contained in it everything I have ever done wrong. It's obviously too small for that. This is only the 2019 version of everything that I've done wrong. There are another 60-odd volumes of this kicking around somewhere, but we'll deal with this one for now. If this is me, and God's up there, all that lot comes between me and God. It's completely cutting me off from God. And this is Jesus. And because Jesus had never done anything wrong, there was never any barrier between him and God. He lived a sinless life. He always had that perfect relationship with God the Father. And the Bible tells us that on the cross, Jesus actually took all of that stuff, all of that sin, onto himself. It's why Jesus ended up crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he was taking all my sin onto himself. But now Jesus has done that, what is there between me and God? Nothing. Nothing. The way into God's presence has been opened. I can now come to him. That alienation has been completely dealt with. So my salvation is something that happened in the past when Jesus took my sin to the cross and dealt with it. So the moment that someone claims that for themselves, acknowledges their sin and asks God for his forgiveness, they're saved. But that isn't the whole story. Since now we've been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? We saw earlier that in order to be just, God must punish sin. And so there will be a day when Jesus returns when everyone will be judged. Now, I admit the idea of God judging us is intensely unpopular today. How could God judge me? And I know I've used this illustration before, but hopefully it makes a bit of sense. When I was at school doing A-level maths, we would sometimes be given homework, which was, humanly speaking, impossible. None of us could do it. And it always seemed intensely unfair to be given detention for failing to do your homework when there was no way you could do it. But just suppose my maths teacher had said, I know this is hard, so if you come and see me, I'll do your homework for you. Then you can hand it in. If after that anyone had failed to do their homework and been given a detention, it would have been perfectly fair because the teacher had offered to do the work himself. So you couldn't complain if you turned that down, didn't think it was necessary, and suffered the consequences. On the day of judgment, as we'll say later in the creed, Jesus will judge the world. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, you and me included. And because Jesus died to take away our sins, we can't complain if we've failed to take advantage of that and end up facing judgment. On the day of judgment, my only hope will be Jesus, and your only hope will be Jesus. But if we have been made right with God in the past, we can be sure that we will be saved on the day of judgment. Since we've now been justified by his blood, we've been made right with God, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? What Jesus did on the cross not only opens the way, saves me from being alienated from God now, it actually guarantees my acceptance in the future. Paul says, a bit later in Romans, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So through faith in Jesus, I've been saved in the past. Through faith in Jesus, I will be saved in the future. But that still isn't quite the whole story. Because it has to have an impact on me now. I have to know that I am being saved. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. And here's where it can become quite challenging. Because those three dimensions are completely linked. If I'm not being saved in the present, then actually there's a big question mark about whether I've ever been saved in the past and will be saved in the future. You see, somebody might think, whew, right, I don't want to have to face God's judgment, so I'll confess I'm a sinner, I'll ask Jesus to save me, but I'll go on living exactly as I did before. And that person in 10 years' time might show no indication that they're a Christian. And it doesn't work like that. I'm afraid that that means the prayer they thought they'd prayed was anything but genuine. It's exactly what we saw a couple of weeks ago when we were looking at the word faith. Faith doesn't just involve your head, it involves your heart and your hands as well, because faith without deeds is dead. At the start of his ministry, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." So being saved involves repenting. It involves turning round to follow Jesus, committing your life to him. And if you've not done that, then you've not been saved. Being saved means progressively being set free from sin in your life, gradually becoming more like Jesus, wanting his will to be done in your life. And if none of that applies to you, then how can you say that you've been saved? In Colossians, Paul says, "We have been rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's Son." So if you're actually still living in the kingdom of darkness, you've not really been rescued, have you? Of course, we all sin. We're all being saved. We won't get there until Jesus comes again. But if sin doesn't concern you at all, if you know what God says in his word, and rather than struggle to obey, you just couldn't care less, if you're not repenting, you're not being saved. You see, between that initial being saved and that final being saved, there's a whole life of daily being saved, daily dealing with sin, daily drawing closer to God. And yes, we all fail, and sometimes we might fall and fail dramatically, and sometimes we might drift away from that. But if it's never been live in your life, then how can you say that you've been saved? I don't say that to try to scare people, but being saved is so important. It is rescue from danger or destruction. It's actually the way to be sure that you have been saved and that you will be saved is to know that you are being saved. You are trying to live that new life. And it's actually where all of the words we've looked at this summer all start to flow together. Bless. Because God's default position towards us is blessing. But as a holy God, we can't make ourselves right with him. We can only receive that blessing through faith, a faith that engages all that we are, our head, our heart, our hands. And that faith isn't something we can work up for ourselves. It's grace. It is a gift from God that we have to receive and act on. Only when we do that are we saved. And being saved means a completely new life. It means being taken from an old life and put into a new life. And it will be a life that will be shaped by worship, which is our word for next Sunday. The book of Hebrews, it reminds us, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? That's how serious it is. So today, where do you fit in this? Have you been saved? Have you acknowledged your need of Jesus as your Savior and turned to Him? Have you repented and put your trust in Him? Are you being saved? Are you walking with Jesus? If the answer to those two is yes, then you can be absolutely confident that at the end you will be saved. And that is something that all of us need.